I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Second half of Grant and Danny getting started on 106.7 The Fan at 12:18. Dwayne Haskins is certainly improving. If you look at his first outing to this past Sunday, has he come far enough to excite you yet? Plus, I do want to talk about the Jaguars benching Nick Foles after just 10 quarters of being healthy again.
We've seen enough.
After giving him a huge contract for Gardner Minshew. We'll get into that before we get out of here today on Grant and Danny. But right now, let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. A couple teams you care about jammed into one segment. Chris Russell is our good pal, and his hair is growing out because the Redskins have won two straight games.
Lustrous set of hair.
After their next loss, because they won't be able to get to 7 wins, he'll have to shave his head live on the show. You'll have a chance for charity to cut that hair. More details to come. Yesterday, Russell, I'm driving home, and I got to say, you were on fire.
Congrats, man.
You were Reggie Miller from distance with nobody guarding him. The Redskins scored 20 points for the first time in 12 weeks, and Chris Russell acted like they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Take your victory lap. This is your week, baby.
Well, they scored 29 points because we all know that the only way this team can score points is by running the football like they did on Sunday in Carolina.
One of those touchdowns was on a drive that was a half yard long.
I understand that because defense actually counts and defense generates points. So the point of the matter is that they cannot throw the football consistently, effectively in any sort of way yet. I do believe eventually, I hope, Dwayne Haskins will get better. Right now, he is not there. The numbers, maybe not a true indicator of how he's playing. I think he's certainly playing better, and he's been hurt by a couple of drops. But that's every quarterback across the board, boys. The bottom line is they still stink as a passing offense, and until they get much, much better, not slightly better, until they get much better, this is their only shot.
So they ran it great against the Panthers, and it was awesome. I'm wondering why they ran it poorly against the Lions, Jets, Bills, Vikings, 49ers, Dolphins, etc.
They didn't run it badly in all of those games.
They did.
Against the Jets and the Lions, they did. Against the other teams, they did not.
Right. Well, I would disagree with that just based on numbers and the games themselves. But what I'm asking you is why did they run it so much better this weekend? And what can they do like that going forward? Because if I get 248 yards and 12 yards a carry, let's run it every time.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is the opponent, right? Charlotte, or Carolina, I should say, is missing Kaywon Short. They just signed Stacy McGee, who we know stinks. They don't have the kind of run stuffers that they used to have when Star Lotulelei was up there. He's up in Buffalo, and Kaywon Short. So that's number one. You take advantage of an opponent who has a clear and glaring weakness. I think the other part of it is we all knew that Darius Geis, when he could be healthy, had burst that could break through the line of scrimmage if you block it upright. And if you look at that 60-yard run, the center, Chase Roullier, Brandon Scherff, and even Moses at that point, they all get a nice little tunnel, maybe the Lincoln Tunnel up in New York, and Geis can exploit it and explode through it. And then as you keep chipping away at these teams, you impose your will. You break their back. You break their spirit. And that's exactly what they did, which led to other big runs and significant runs, even on first down, which I know is a big deal to you guys. Adrian Peterson from the shadow of his own goal line breaking out a 22-yarder on first down, which I loved.
So winning is going to hurt their draft positioning generally, although it didn't this weekend, which was pretty fascinating.
Right.
We disagree on whether or not that should matter. I know you don't care where they draft necessarily.
It's not that. It's that I do think winning has value, even if it hurts that.
And I think because your coaches aren't going to be here and most of these players aren't going to be here.
But potential free agents, right? Don't you think that matters to potential free agents?
No, I think how much you pay them and who your coach is matters.
Okay.
But regardless, let me get to the point. The Bruce Allen future, I think we can all agree upon, is pivotal here.
Yeah.
How much do these wins make it harder to move on from him?
I mean, if we're talking about a win this Sunday against Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau, I think you start having legitimate concerns that he is riding another magic carpet ride. I think if they come back to reality, which I fully expect, against better competition, better quarterbacks, better teams down the stretch here, empty stadiums against the Eagles and the Giants, or largely filled with opponent fans, I think what we're going to have ultimately is Bruce somehow, some way, stepping aside, reassigned, something like that. I would not be surprised if he just retires and goes off into the yonder and moves to Southern California where he owns a mansion.
Did you think anything of that Garofalo thing?
I thought a little bit of it, but I mean, I love Mike, as you do, and I heard you guys talk about this yesterday. I don't think it's a big deal, but it's a little bit of a deal because it's the NFL Network and because it's a reporter plugged in like Garofalo.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Enjoy your
week. Thank you, guys.
We'll see you, dude. Let's talk some puck, Tommy. Stephen Wino, AP hockey writer, covers the Washington Capitals. So I know I treat this West Coast three-piece basically like exam week in college. I just want to get through it. I just want to make sure I'm okay, and then I can have fun over the holidays as long as I don't fail. Let's get back to the regular hockey. How do they treat this West Coast trip?
I think it's a kind of a measuring stick on where they are at this point in the season, because the Capitals have outscored their problems a lot this year. There have been some kind of defensive zone coverage miscues and things that probably should have cost them games, but their talent, their scoring has been there enough that this is a test against good teams, the Sharks in particular, who have found their game to say, okay, now we have to see where we're at in this season. The West Coast trip has not treated the Capitals well in previous seasons, and as long as things don't fall off the rails, I think they'll be fine.
Chandler Stephenson traded last night. Give me the deets.
Basically, the Capitals had to choose between, with Carl Hagelin coming back from long-term injury, they had to choose between Travis Boyd and Chandler Stephenson. And the Capitals and Todd Reardon have long loved Chandler Stephenson for his penalty-killing abilities, for his defensive play, but it was to the point where they couldn't send Travis Boyd down. They felt like he earned the opportunity, and with guys like Brendan Leipzig, Richard Ponick, even Carl Hagelin, Garnet Hathaway added, they feel like they have enough of that defensive ability at forward and on the penalty kill that they could shed Stephenson.
I think the salary cap situation that they're just, fogging up the windows of the ceiling of the salary cap is really hampering them in a lot of ways. Is this kind of the underrated story of the year for the Capitals?
It is, and but they knew this. So the Capitals knew this going in. It's why they traded Matt Niskanen for Rod Kukuta to save the cap space. It's why you couldn't bring back a Brett Connolly. So there were reasons why all of these things happened. We knew they'd be playing kind of up against it all year. It's kind of just their new reality at this point, and it hampered them when Garnet Hathaway was suspended. It hampers them because of a Nick Backstrom injury and those sort of things. But it's not bad to have this kind of adversity this time of the year and not in March, April, and May.
Swino, on this station this morning, Lars Eller said he doesn't think the Caps have played their best game yet. He doesn't think they've played one 60-minute excellent hockey game. I mean, is he just kind of gassing his team up, or do you buy that a little bit?
I buy it a little bit. I mean, I do think they have played good games. I do think they have played 60-minute games. But he's right in that there are still things to fix there. They've been able to come back from 3-0 deficits. They've been able to overcome slow starts or overcome blowing leads just because of how talented they are kind of from top to bottom. But, yeah, I think it's a good perspective from Lars Eller and everybody inside that team to realize that things are not rosy right now. Even though they're atop the league, even though things have been going so well result-wise, that it's smart of the Capitals to realize that they have better and need to show better the rest of the season.
So, Wino, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the week.
Talk to you soon, guys.
See you, man.
Steve Wino, check out his work in the Associated Press on the Capitals and the NHL, and there is your Beltway Blitz. We do it every day at noon. The team's in town with the most pressing details to give you each day at this time. Next, Dwayne Haskins is improving. Is it fast enough to excite you yet? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So apparently Thom somehow has like 100 different versions of Santa Claus is Coming to Town he could play.
We have no musical variety, and yet we have all of 97.1's backlog. Like, what is this?
So apparently we're not allowed to like add music to our thing ever, but because of the Junkies Christmas party, we somehow got all the Christmas songs from Fresh. So Thom has thousands.
The Drive, please.
Drive, my Excuse apologies.
Because my mug is not up to date. I have a 94.7
I was looking at your
Fresh
mug.
FM mug. R.I.P.
The Drive. And so we have 1,000-ish versions of every Christmas song.
What's the music rule now that we actually can't add any songs anymore?
It's actually the rule that we can't discuss the rule on the air.
Oh, very well then.
That's the okay. rule. It's a good rule.
That's a pretty good rule.
Certainly not a rule that you're violating.
I didn't know about that rule. I probably should have. Please don't suspend me for a couple years like they're going to do that poor kid that made a parlay.
The kid shouldn't have made a parlay.
I shouldn't have brought up the rule.
Dwayne Haskins looks better. Can we agree?
Yes.
Well, you of course agree. Okay. I mean, he throws a 4-yard completion and you clap like a seal. But can the rest of us agree that even the ones that aren't big on Dwayne Haskins' progress or development, that Sunday he looked like an NFL quarterback? He looked like an NFL quarterback.
Now, the numbers don't jump out at you.
They're not going to.
They're not. They're not great numbers. I don't think anybody's got great numbers right now, this minute, in this offense. I just don't think that exists.
I think a lot of guys have better numbers, but I don't know that anybody has
great
numbers.
On this roster. If Case Keenum was healthy and playing, I think this is what it was
going to
be.
Keenum would be outperforming Haskins substantially.
We'll disagree there. I saw Keenum early, and that was awesome. This is what we were doing against Miami. This is what it was happening against Buffalo or whoever.
Miami, you had closer to 20 points than they got before this week in a long, long time.
You had 17 points. This is the trend. This is what was happening. It's a skillless, you know, unimaginative handoff fest. And if you run it great, you could score some points. Right now, it's not.
It's a good way to describe the Redskins' offense.
Yeah.
See the Redskins at FedEx Field this Sunday. A skillless, unimaginative handoff fest.
We're going to make, like, the whole point is to not screw
Sunday,
up.
Sunday.
pay tens of dollars for tickets to sit up front. Call a play. It's not fun.
They lack skill, imagination, but at least they'll hand it off 1,000 times.
They won't be going downfield. Not this week. So
Terry McLaurin will be targeted 3 times.
Yeah, this is where we are right now. But I think if you don't see improvement, again, the bar is low, and that's a conversation in and of itself. The bar is low. I don't know whether it should be or shouldn't be. I just know that it is. But there's improvement. Now, is it enough to warrant a lot of decisions that have to be made? That's a great debate. That's a great discussion. But there is improvement.
There's probably 3 camps here.
Okay.
Camp 1. Dwayne Haskins is the truth. He's a victim here in Washington, and he'd be great if he was in Cincinnati right now. Mm. Camp 2, no matter what he does, Dwayne Haskins is terrible. He's bringing the offense down. Even though they don't have a lot of weapons around him or the scheme isn't particularly good, he can't play quarterback. He's a lost puppy, and he's never going to be good. I think both of those are extreme and incorrect.
Yep.
Both of them. The third camp is the one I like to think that I belong in, which is let's see what happens. And you kind of you ebb and flow with the play. So the play's been mostly bad. There have been a lot of negative thoughts on Dwayne Haskins. But this week, he was much better. And you say, look, this kid is improving. I would say this. Whatever of those 3 camps you're in, you have to agree that this weekend was the best that we've seen him and that he is clearly progressing just from the beginning. When he got out onto the field for the first time and he's getting in and out of the huddle and he's going through reads and he's coming down to the second or the third option in a progression, all those things. He is getting better. But it is happening at a glacial pace.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening at a snail's pace. Here we are, basically a quarter of the season into him starting. And we're excited because he went for 140 without a touchdown.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he has 2 touchdowns and I think still 6 interceptions.
6.
So a 1-3 ratio. I don't care as much about the picks because, frankly, he's thrown fewer interceptions than I was anticipating. But part of that is because he doesn't really force the ball anywhere
he's
into
just
any
thrown
windows.
Fewer everything than we'd anticipated.
Right.
Fewer passes, fewer picks, fewer touchdowns.
He started a month's worth now with a couple of performances off the bench, including one for an entire half. And he's got two touchdown passes. So the question is this. We'll all separate that he's clearly improving on a binary. Is he getting better or yes? The answer, yes or no, is yes. Is it at a pace that excites you? Have you seen anything yet where you go, I think he's coming around. I think that Dwayne Haskins is becoming a guy that I could be excited about as a prospect at quarterback for the Redskins. Have you reached that yet? Have you gotten to a point where you're now pumped up about the possibility that he could be the long-term answer? Have you seen enough for that? 800-636-1067. I have not even close, but I will admit that he's getting better.
Yeah, I haven't seen enough to be sold, to be convinced,
I'm not
to be
sure.
Sold.
I'm saying to be excited.
Yes, for me. Because here's what it means. I have a door open of hope. He has given me some hope.
You probably had that before the season started.
I would say, yeah, I did.
So how do I, you see what I'm trying to get at? How do I word this better?
I do.
Based on his performance, are you getting more excited yet? That's the way to do it.
Yeah. But again, I'm not, if we're going 1 to 10, I'm not at a 10. I'm not sitting here beating the drum going, we've got it. The answer, long term, it's solved. Don't worry about anything. I'm going, well, I see incremental improvement. So his play hasn't been very good, but it's getting better. And that tells me that we're on a path towards improvement. Where does that road stop? That's the debate. I have no idea. But I'm hopeful. I'm excited that it's not getting worse. He's not just going down his leg every week. They can get to the line of scrimmage. They can do the things that we were told they wouldn't be able to do with him because he was a danger to himself and others. We're getting better. It's not good yet. It's not acceptable yet. And I don't think anybody's saying that it is.
Well, first of all, there was no way to get worse after the Giants game.
This is true.
That was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
His first start was very pedestrian against the Bills. I mean, that was the most kid glove start you ever seen in your life. Where it was like, I don't even think he threw it 20 times. I think he was like 9 of 18. You'd have to look up the numbers.
Something like that.
But it was kind of Mark Brunell from 2004 when his arm was hurt. Hand the ball to Clinton Portis, throw it 6 times to Chris Cooley and 2 times to Santana Moss, and let's get home with a 10-6 win.
He threw it 22 times, and I think most of those when they were...
Were they like 11 of 22?
Yeah, down late. Yeah.
And they were down a bunch in that game.
Yeah, 15 of 22 for .144.
When's the last time a guy threw the ball 22 times in a game where you were like fairly blown out at one point?
I know.
I mean, that's crazy to me. But that's where we started. So, of course, he's gotten better. I'm not going to, quote-unquote, get excited because he's gotten better. Here's what, for the first time, got me a little bit of a tingle.
Okay.
Some of those play extension snaps against Carolina where he dodged a couple of defenders and he kept a play alive and he rolled out and he was out of the pocket and he reset with some mechanics and he got the ball to Jeremy Sprinkle, who dropped it immediately because that's what Jeremy Sprinkle
spiked
does.
It. Mad at it.
But there were two or three plays in that game where I went, that was Roethlisberger-y.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was Tony Romo-y. That was playmaker-y, which we haven't had. Kirk Cousins, really good quarterback with Minnesota now, was good when he was here. He never made plays like that.
Right.
He is on schedule. Ball comes out. I know who I'm throwing to pre-snap. If that guy's covered, I'll get it to the second read. I'll make good decisions. I'll keep you in the game. I'll throw for a ton of yards and a bunch of touchdowns. We're going to move the football. But he never on 3rd and 6 was going to, like, get away from a defender and reset outside the numbers and now plant and wait. I mean, he did that 4 or 5 times in 3 years. Haskins did it a couple times on Sunday.
I think of it in this way almost. It's almost like, you know, when you're college basketball terms, I'm lacking a good comp for this, but bear with me. You play one set of schools, it's like they're going to press you, they're going to come at you in waves, they're going to run. You play another set of schools, they're going to play half court. And they're sort of like different, you know, categories there. That's kind of, to me, the president of that school of quarterbacking is, that's the Drew Brees school of quarterbacking. Ball's on time. I'm not here to run around. I'll extend a play just by shuffling in the pocket, but I'm here to have the ball come out. Guys like Matt Ryan, guys like Kirk Cousins, they're in that school. Then there's the playmaker school, right? And this, they're going to kill you sometimes. They're going to hold on to the ball too long and fumble. I don't know if Favre would be the president of that school, but it's somebody like that, right? I've always preferred that higher risk and maybe even lower floor playmaker school. I think Haskins is in that. in that school, where he's more of a playmaker than people think. Now, it's going to come back to bite you when you hold on to the ball too long and sack fumble.
If he's in that school, he's in kindergarten and you graduate after the 12th grade.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's accomplished. I didn't mean to compare him to a Hall of Famer. Just saying that's the file I put him in. Let's see how high he can rise up it. But I think he's in that, and that's going to lead to some bad moments too, where you move around too much. You get victim of a sack fumble, for example.
He's obviously getting better. He couldn't have gotten worse from the start. But how much better is the question, and are you excited by what you're seeing, yes or no? That's it. That's the question. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dwayne Haskins is much better now than he was when he first started playing, and that is a good thing. You got to be pumped to see him progressing. But are you excited with the pace with which he's improving and what you're seeing from him yet? That's the question. At 800-636-1067, on the heels of Dwayne Haskins' best overall performance as a Redskin. Again, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. Guylo says, I'm excited because progression's being made. He shouldn't have been a first rounder if he's this raw, but it's already been spent. I'm happy to watch him grow. That's pretty much how I feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough to know that he should have been picked at 15, and that was a mistake. But I knew going in that the football people thought that already, and Dan Snyder disagreed. But here we are. I mean, you made the pick. He is your guy. He needs to become really, really good, or they're screwed. If they pick first somehow, I'm taking Joe Burrow. If they don't, I'm not getting into the quarterback bucket. I'm not that worried. For me, taking Burrow at one is more about Burrow and less about Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake Fromm or Justin Herbert or one of these other guys.
You're not doing it just to do it.
I'm not doing it because I don't think Haskins can ever develop. It's just going to take so much longer than I wanted it to. He's so much more raw than I thought he was going to be. And he shouldn't have gone 15th. But we're here now. You've drafted him, and let's develop him, and let's get a coach in here who's going to turn him into something. You just keep your fingers crossed that it clicks.
I think it's a good way to look at it. I still see a ceiling that's worth trying to find, right? Even though the pace isn't what we all want. And I think we'd almost be more satisfied if there were lower lows than there have been over the last month of him starting, if there were some more highs. Because we all know progression isn't linear, right? A good defensive coordinator can do stuff that you've never seen before. Like Greg Williams can coach a bad defense, but have blitz that he hasn't shown to anybody else and befuddle even good offenses, right? He can get anybody that way. So there are going to be bad moments. There are going to be times where Adrian Peterson whiffs on a block so badly that you go, I don't know who's supposed to do anything about that. That was terrible. That's going to happen to everyone. But we don't have these huge high water marks to go, ah, see, there's your 100-mile-an-hour fastball. We still have to project based on college stats and production and kind of the occasional, you know, I don't know, drilled in square and route for 14 yards. That looks great because it's better than a check down. We still have to guess where his ceiling is without some of the production that would say, that's it. Like you watch Daniel Jones play, you see an incredible throw for a touchdown. You go, that's where the ceiling is, right? We can do that. He's going to fumble and lead the league in turnovers right now because he's not great yet, but you can see a ceiling. It's harder to see with Dwayne Haskins. Would you agree with that? Because we haven't seen the highlights just yet?
Yeah, I think Drew Lock did more in his first half in terms of highlights or big moments than Haskins did in 3 games. That worries me. I don't like that. That's not exciting to me. That's not fun. But if I'm just viewing Haskins through a vacuum, if I'm not comparing him to Kyler Murray who went 1 or Daniel Jones who went six, or Drew Locke, who went in the second round, or Gardner Minshew, who went in the frickin' sixth round and has already had a starter paid a lot of money benched because he's competent enough to run an offense. If I'm not comparing him to all the other peers from his class, then I can just compare him to himself and say he's better than he was against the Giants, better than he was against the Bills.
Right.
I don't love the pace. You know, this is the equivalent of course he's doing better. Like, if you and I got a zero share rating in our first month as a show, and 6 months later we had a 1.8, that's not a good rating.
No, it's not good.
Okay?
Nobody's saying it's good.
We'd be in big trouble. CK could go into a meeting with some bosses and go, look, guys, these dudes are making progress here. They started at a zero, and they're up to a 1.8. And maybe you even say it differently. You're like, they've doubled their ratings, or they've gone from getting nothing to almost two shares. You know, they're up 1.8 shares in the last 6 months. No other show's up 1.8 shares. But the junkies are going from like a 10 to a 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what you're saying.
So the fact that he started for me as a zero, essentially, against the Giants and that first start against the Bills, that all has to be part of this context. I think that's only fair. I'm sure someone will say I'm hating.
You are
or
hating.
I'm some jerk and an idiot, and I can't stand Dwayne Haskins, and that's just not the case. I need Dwayne Haskins to be great, and I want him to be great, and I hope that he is. And if the Redskins don't pick first, I'm not drafting a quarterback in the first round. I'm not going to. I won't rule out drafting a quarterback in the mid rounds, potentially, but I'm certainly not taking one in the first round if I'm not picking 1-1. Steve in Fairfax, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, I look at it like, I guess you could say I'm in the middle right now, a little less excited at the moment. But to me, I compare this to, like, you have a driving past construction site and the building's being built, this work is working, and you're like, I wonder what that's going to be. And you pass by for like another week and you don't see anybody, almost like they ran short on funding or something. But right now with Haskins, the construction work is up
comp.
Back. That's how I feel about it. You know
wait,
what
wait,
mean?
So give me, hold on, like, I was laughing. So give me the rest of the comp with Haskins?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I was thinking right now, we're at the moment where the workers are back. They're back building the building, and you're kind of like, okay, this thing could be beautiful at the end. Or when they're finished with it, you could be like, man, they took all that time to build that. So that's how I am with Haskins right now. What y'all think about that?
First of all, it's the best comp I've heard. We've been like circling around. I involve like college basketball on a team that likes to press. That's way better. Because you've all driven by that construction site that looks abandoned. Like, what are we doing? What are they going to actually do? Now they're working on it again. This building has a chance to be something. Maybe they'll put a convenience store.
There's a couple guys like sitting down, eating a burger. Like, it doesn't seem like the most work's being done.
Like, why is there a puddle there?
But at least there are people on the site wearing orange vests.
There's like a ladder strewn about.
You know why we love it so much? It's like right out our window.
I'm looking at construction.
There's 16 construction sites and there's 82 people working on
buildings. So there's a big pit next to us. Nobody's in it right now. There's like a generator, a crane, two wood beams, a sawhorse, and a ladder just kind of tilted to the side. This right now is the Dwayne Haskins of construction sites. This building might be awesome. It might also be a stupid waste of time.
We need the workers
to come
back.
With like one chain restaurant on the first floor.
Let's go to Wendell in Springfield. Hey, Wendell.
Mr. Wendell.
Hey. Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
I hated that song growing up.
Sorry, buddy.
No, you're good. Just quickly, I wanted to touch on, I'm glad that he's making progression. I mean, in this small strides, but I won't knock that, you know, small steps are better than no steps. But I think the alarming part and where I kind of maybe see him fizzing out is that he didn't really have a full grasp on even the leadership and tangible kind of things, like the report showing up right on time to games. And then just even the liking the Jay Gruden stuff, I really question his maturity. I mean, he is young, but it's a lot of young quarterbacks, and they don't necessarily carry themselves with the things that I see that I really just kind of don't like. So I think that's kind of telling to me.
But do you think those things can be learned like anything else? I do. I think you can improve as a leader. I think you can improve as a guy that learns how to study. I mean, you know, as I went older in my academic career, I actually learned how I was supposed to learn stuff, right? Isn't that something you can improve on as well?
Not in my opinion. I think with that, I think you kind of have it or you don't.
Okay.
Same way as like quality of employee.
I'm with
you.
You
got guys that, you got guys that kind of sneak in, you know, right on time. And then you got guys that you just depend on and bring their lunch every day.
I think you're talking about two different things because I've had this conversation with you as well, Danny, where you go, you can learn to be a leader. Agreed. You can learn to study better. Agreed. But you're either the kind of guy who you build everything
has
around
it in you,
or you're not. You know, you're the kind of guy that wants to be first in, last out, and loves football. We've never talked about this on the show, honestly, because I didn't want to, because it was like a would have been super hot takey and like just gross. I would have felt awful and Skip Bayless-y, and that's the last thing in the world I want to do. But when we interviewed Dwayne Haskins in training camp, he had a quote that has sat poorly with me ever since. And at the end of our interview, he said something. I'm like, do you go home and like watch games? I don't remember what I said. Are you playing Madden or watching?
Right, what are you doing?
And he's like, oh, I don't really love football like that. And it was just kind of a throwaway comment. And I let him clarify. I'm like, oh, you just mean like, he's like, yeah, I just don't love football like that. It's a nothing comment. It probably means nothing. But when you hear some of these other things since that you've heard about, he's still learning that he has to come in early. He's still learning that he has to watch film with the veterans. And like those types of comments kind of bug me a little bit.
Sure, when you look at the whole
picture,
super
conscientious dudes like Russell Wilson who just would let you like cut their hand open so that they could watch one more hour of film, yeah. It seems like. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Adam Kaplan, longtime ESPN NFL reporter who you hear on SiriusXM NFL Radio, will join us at 1 o'clock in about 15 minutes. I do want to get into the Jaguars quarterback situation when we go around the NFL next. They're benching a big money addition after just 10 healthy quarters for a late round draft pick at QB. Listen to the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sunday, Nick Foles turned the ball over on his first three possessions in a game against the Bucs. The Jags would lose 28-11. They were down 25-0 at the half. They benched him for Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew has been named their starter for the rest of the season. They just signed Nick Foles to a massive contract. Foles, who has mostly been a backup throughout his career, came over after helping the Eagles win a Super Bowl. Now, realize that I'm not standing on a table for Nick Foles because I've always kind of thought he was like the 26th to 28th best quarterback in the league. And people think that when someone wins a Super Bowl, it means they're really good. It might just mean they got hot. Now that was the case with Eli Manning, who was never that good. That's the case with Nick Foles.
Flacco, Dilfer. Right. You know,
there's a lot of guys
on,
that have won Super Bowls. It doesn't change that they're not great. They're just fine quarterbacks who are on good teams who went on a magical carpet ride, and Foles was one of those guys. But they signed him to a four-year deal for $88 million. They have benched him already for a guy that they drafted at the end of the draft this past year who has been fine. You know, Gardner Minshew's been pretty good at times. People forget the last game he started was probably the worst quarterback game by a Jaguars quarterback this year when they were in London and he couldn't move the football at all. But he came in 16 of 27 for a buck 47, threw one touch, threw one pick. I don't think the pick was his fault. I think it was an issue with the receiver. But the bottom line is they're going away from Foles, who just came back from injury, has played 10 quarters, and they're going, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Four games. And they're benching this guy that they just gave almost $90 million to. Can you imagine?
Yeah. He hadn't been very good for them. And he got hurt. Now, I don't know that anybody's the answer
but
there.
Four games is enough? Mister, you need to give Haskins three seasons? I mean, come on. Foles, on September 8th, the first game where he got hurt, he broke his collarbone. Mm-hmm. He was 5 of 8 with a long touchdown pass in that game. He gets hurt. After that, didn't play until 3 weeks ago. So if you just take week one out of it where he was really good and then got hurt early on against the Chiefs, he played against the Colts, 33 of 47 for about 300 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. I didn't watch the game. I'm just looking at numbers. But right. That's not some tragic game. It was mostly in garbage time, by the way. They lost by 20. Then they lost by 22 against the Titans. Again, wasn't particularly effective in that game. No touchdowns, no picks, rating in the early 80s. The last game he was terrible in. I give you that. He mm-hmm. was horrendous. But even if he'd been awful four times, he hasn't been. He's played three games and got hurt early in the fourth. Doesn't $88 million mean you get longer than a 10-quarter sample to try to figure out your new offense with your new teammates?
I guess not. I mean, again, this is – I think they realize that once he's outside of the Andy Reid, Doug Peterson nest, this is who he is and who he's been, which is a backup quarterback in this league.
Then you can't give him $90 million.
I think that's why – I said that at the time, and I think that a lot of people said that at the time, and I think now you know that, oh my God, this is not the transformative franchise difference maker. They weren't just a QB away as they thought they were, right? Remember, they blamed Blake Bortles for everything. Bortles is terrible. You're not getting me to defend Blake Bortles. But they said, our team is so good, all we need is a competent caretaker to do this for us. I don't know if Minshew's the answer long term. It's fun right now. I mean, he's scrambling around, making plays. He's mustached and, you know, shooting from the hip and off his back foot and all this, that, and the other. It's fun. But I think they're trying to figure out long term if they have somebody or they have to be back in the same game that everyone else is who doesn't have a franchise QB. I think they realize that Foles ain't it.
So a couple of things. Number one, my buddy's a Jags fan, and all Jags fans love Gardner Minshew. He is kind of a super rich man's, like, Jeff Bezos level, Chase Daniels or Colt Brennan kind of situation here in Washington, where he's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy.
He's got a mustache, and he wears leather pants, and everyone loved him before he ever played a down. And then he ran around Uncle Rico style, and he played okay in a couple games. There's nobody more overrated right now than Gardner Minshew for the Jaguars, okay? Is he fine? He's fine. Nothing wrong with Gardner Minshew.
It's a cool story.
It's a great story. Great story. But Jaguar, if you talk to a Jaguars fan about Gardner Minshew, they're telling you, this is the franchise quarterback. He'll be our guy for 12 years, as if you know that after a couple of games. Number one. Number two, if I'm working back, like my boy always says, Nick Foles has been terrible. He's made one good pass. Let's say that was true. It's not, by the way. It's just not correct. But let's say that it is, that he's made one good pass. He's played four games. He is under contract next year for a $22 million cap hit.
It's just a lot.
$33 million in dead money. You can't get rid of him. You're not going to have him on your bench as a $22 million cap hit next year. You're not going to. So he either has to start or you trade him. Now, if their plan this offseason is to trade him and they'll go with Gardner Minshew, okay, no big problem then. If you think you could trade Nick Foles and someone will take on that contract, and I think somebody probably would, then maybe that'll be their plan. Do you think someone will trade for Nick Foles?
Maybe somebody's into it. But
cap hits of 22, 26, 27. He's basically Cousins-type money the last 2 years of this deal without that production.
It would have to be somebody you pick up part of the tab. I mean, there's no way somebody's just going to say, yeah, I want that at that price. They might have to let him go and swallow the poison pill.
They have a potential out after 2021 that kind of makes it, or in 2021. So if a team traded for him, they could actually get out of the Foles contract with 12.5 dead cap the following year. So they would be taking him on for basically 1 year at $22 million. But again, $12.5 million dead
is a lot
for a team to take on. So I think if you're bringing him in, he's a three-year starter for you, or at least a couple-of-year starter. I guess it sounds like I'm just shocked that they're benching Nick Foles because he's good. I'm shocked that you sign a guy and within less than, I mean, I've never seen anything this crazy in terms of the timeline. We're talking about less than four games of crowning a dude your franchise quarterback and giving him $88 million. And you're saying, actually, we'll go with this other guy. Can you recall anything like this? This investment?
Not like this.
This much money?
I mean, I think about, there have been times where it's buyer beware when you trade with Philadelphia, right? I mean, you've seen it. Remember A.J. Feely got a second-round pick? People were excited that guy could do it. But not like this. I can't remember he's our franchise quarterback, we're super excited, benched after four starts.
I think people got up in arms because the Redskins fans were down on Haskins after a couple of games. Like, oh, it's way too early. I think if the Redskins came out and had a press conference today and said, Dwayne Haskins is not the guy, we're going back to Keenum, he's on the market, we'll be drafting a quarterback in the first round. They're not going to do that. They shouldn't do that. But I'm just working on a hypothetical here.
Okay.
If they did that, to me, it would be less insane than what the Jaguars are doing with Nick Foles.
Really?
Absolutely. You have invested $88 million with Haskins. It's a rookie contract you could get out of pretty easily.
Yeah, it's a first-round pick with no experience. This is a 9-year veteran?
Yeah, who's
with
been
a pretty good sample?
Pretty good the last couple of years and won a Super Bowl and won another playoff game.
Yeah, but when you go pretty good, he had a good year in 2013. It actually was great. 27 touchdowns, 2 picks.
That wasn't even the year he won the Super Bowl.
I know. Outside of that, it's been unspectacular at best.
Except when he went on that run and won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which is kind of a big deal.
Well, it is, but then
last year he played pretty well, and again in the playoffs that they were successful, beat Chicago. I guess my point
that sounds like very much did he win the game though?
It's not. He was playing pretty well in those games. Is my point. He was as good as I'm a Carson Wentz guy. I think Nick Foles is a Jag.
Yeah,
that's my belief. But all of those things still happened, and you gave him $90 million. If they just acquired him via trade this year,
okay,
and he was making $6 million bucks, let's say.
Then this is fine, right?
Then benching him to go to Gardner Minshew, I wouldn't have anything to say about it. I wouldn't be doing this segment. I wouldn't have a second opinion. I would just be thinking, oh, wow, Nick Foles. Yeah, he is Nick Foles, I guess. $88 million. People are bringing up Matt Flynn for Seattle. I think Matt Flynn signed for, like, wasn't it like $15 million or something?
I mean, at the time, it was pretty good money for a quarterback.
So the
numbers have gone up exponentially since then, right? In terms of what QBs signed for?
They signed him, I remember, and Russell Wilson became their starter.
Beat him
over
out, yeah.
Him, basically. He makes $870,000 at the end of his career.
Flynn now, yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. But, yeah, he signed that one big contract. I'll look up the number for you. But it wasn't like this. It wasn't $88 million.
No. But again, market-wise at the time, I think it was a pretty significant signing. That's probably the closest comp.
He basically got Wally pipped is essentially what happened.
Yeah.
They decided while he was hurt, they liked Gardner Minshew.
What about even in Philly when they traded for Sam Bradford? Or whatever it was. They acquired Sam Bradford and then Wentz beat his butt out.
Dar gave me the number. 3 years, $26 million. So if you multiply that by about 3.5 times, you get what Nick Foles got.
Yeah, even with inflation, that's a far more significant deal. Talking Foles.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is.
What I can't get over, again, is how quick they've decided this. Now, maybe this is not forever. Maybe they'll go back to him this offseason. They probably have to if they can't trade him just because of the money. Or they'll have an open competition. But he came back from injury, played okay in a couple of games and terrible in one. And in less than 3 full games, they've decided, yeah, this guy, all that money, the franchise quarterback?
He's not the guy.
20,000 jerseys sold that first week because he's going to be the guy for the next 7 years? We're going to go with the mustache kid who throws 202 yards and 16 of 28 a whole bunch. But at least he has a lot of fun while he does it and wears cool pants. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Adam Kaplan takes us around the NFL next.
Gene, for our friends at Window Nation, 1 week only, you got to hop on this offer right now. Window Nation is offering their best deal of the year. It's now through Sunday only. A special Black Friday savings event. Save thousands off brand new energy efficient Window Nation windows. Here's the deal. You buy one window, you get one for free. There's no limit. So if you buy 4, you get 4. You buy 8, you get 8 free. Plus 0 money down, 0 payments, and 0 interest for 2 full years. The cold has arrived, Grant. Now is the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Window Nation's going to take great care of you like they took care of me, like they took care of Danny. I've got another window being installed in the house this week, as a matter of fact. They've been coming out to my house, knocking out one window at a time. I can work right around them. It's pretty cool. Window Nation, our guy Dave Burkhart does an awesome job. They'll come out once. They don't have to make the follow-up trip 99.5% of the time.
These guys are the best. We've used them. So many of our listeners have as well. Give them a chance to win your business. They're awesome. Trust the window company that I trust. Visit windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION to get that free in-home estimate. It's valid through Sunday only, so call today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.